Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman after the Gus Bradley radio show each and every Thursday night. Glad you're with us. Plenty to get to preseason week two. The Jaguars and the New York Giants coming up Saturday night at MetLife Stadium with a 7:30 kickoff. The Jags went through a walkthrough today. They'll hop on the plane tomorrow afternoon for the first road trip of the preseason. And for a lot of young guys, Logs, it's their first chance to see a road game in the National Football League. Certainly the rookies on this team is something Gus talked about earlier today in his press conference, or a little earlier in the show tonight, actually. That's one of the challenges. Hey, the lights are on and you're in another place and the fans don't like you for the first time.
Well, and it's New York. I mean, it's not New York. It's actually New Jersey, but it's considered New
Might
York.
Might as well be.
Yeah, so it's a great – if you're going to go on a road in the preseason and kind of get a great kind of dress rehearsal on the road, I mean, that's a great market to do it in. The Giants are a football team kind of still in transition a little bit.
This is not the Giants of 5 to 7 years ago.
No, it's not. You know, and had a chance to watch some of their game film, that their preseason game number one against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, they still have Eli Manning. They have maybe the best young wide receiver in football in Odell Beckham Jr. Victor Cruz did not play against the Cincinnati Bengals, but I think overall as a team, they really struggled against the Bengals. They struggled on defense. They gave up a ton of yards on the ground. They struggled offensively to move the football. And I know that Tom Coughlin was very specific in his comments after that game that he said, look, we have a lot of work to do, and we need to get started right now.
Sure, he was burning the midnight oil this week in New Jersey.
Well, and they got hurt a little bit now. I mean, the Giants got some injuries. You know, I mean, they're missing Jason Pierre-Paul. They had a couple different injuries in their secondary. I know their second-round pick, Landon Collins, ended up leaving the Cincinnati game with a knee. Mikel Thompson, another defensive back, had an Achilles injury against Cincinnati. So, I mean, these guys, secondary-wise, have been banged up a little bit to where, in fact, they went out and signed Brandon Merriweather, formerly of the New England Patriots and Washington Redskins, to kind of help bolster the health in their secondary. He's a safety, and he's a guy that has been fined multiple times by the league for targeting hits to the head of defenseless players at the wide receiver position. So this is, you know, when you look at the NFC East with, you know, the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Redskins, you know, I'm not saying that the Giants are not going to be there, but they don't have a great, talented football team right now, in my opinion.
Well, they're not great on defense. They're void on defense, but I think they're a little bit better on offense than people give them credit.
They've got a couple. I mean, the two weapons that they have.
I think they have three. Reuben Randall's a good player.
He's okay.
Victor Cruz is, if healthy, a stud. Odell Beckham.
He's phenomenal.
Don't say any more about that. They upgraded the offensive line. We'll see how Eric Flowers ends up being. It'll be interesting to see. And they do have okay backs.
No, is this a glass half full, Tony Baselli on the New York Football Giants?
That sounds like it.
Yeah.
Was that an eye roll from Jeff Loggeman?
Well, if you
it was a shock.
Well, Jeff, if you look at the second half of the year under the new coordinator that they had, and I'm trying to look at
offensive coordinator. Yeah, Ben McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo. Thank you. It's not written. Oh, there it is.
It is.
Okay, it's in red.
It's on.
I lost
You're
the
questioning
red.
His sheet.
I couldn't find it. It was in red. I got lost. But Ben McAdoo, the West Coast offense he put in, which was a complete departure from what they did for all of Eli's career under Kevin Gilbride, they completely changed everything from route progression, from blocking, from blitz pickup. I mean, everything. And they looked like a disaster at the beginning of the year last year. But the second half of the year, they started getting on a little bit of
better.
A roll, and Eli started looking a lot better. If they can build on that, I think this offense can be okay because they have weapons outside. Defensively, I think they're an absolute disaster.
Yeah, it's just the linebacking core. I mean, John Beeson, I mean, he's a name guy, but he's had so many foot injuries.
A lot of lower body injuries.
Kept him off the field. You know, outside
Colin Jenkins is 100.
He's been around a long time. So, I mean, they just don't have a lot of
sure.
a lot of star players. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to have star players, but you got to have good players.
As the Jaguars are this week, they're not really planning a lot for the Giants. They're kind of looking at themselves still. The real game planning might start next week in week three. So let's do that here. How about the Jaguars the rest of the show here? Let's start with the guys back on defense. Jared Odrick will be on the field. He'll rotate some with Alualu. They're expecting Roy Miller to play, a game-time decision. No Cyprian, no Thomas this week. T.J. Yeldon, a game-time decision with the finger. So as it is this time of year, some guys coming back, some guys away. That's the nature of the preseason for the Jags.
Well, and I mean, if you're in a going into a preseason game and you're talking about a guy as a game-time decision, and I'm talking about T.J. Yeldon.
That means he's not playing.
Then don't play him.
Right.
You know, I don't think that – I would be very surprised if he played. Roy Miller, you want to get him out there to get him some reps. You know, Roy's had been battling the knee for a little bit, and that's something I think that he also had surgery on in the offseason. I don't know if it's the same knee or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you want to start to get him, you know, getting and gearing towards game shape. It's going to be very exciting to see Jared Odrick against the New York Giants. I think that have some good matchups there. I just want to see him look comfortable at a really, what really is a new position for him. Yes, he played defensive end in a 3-4, but this is a little bit different. The technique is different, so you want to see him look and feel comfortable. I also want to see him when he kicks down in a 3 technique and get some rushes, you know, whether they get to what they call sub package or their nickel package, to where you have Ryan Davis in at the other defensive tackle, to see Odrick get some reps in there. So very much looking forward to him, and because that he's a, if you looked at free agent-wise money spent, there's a lot of money they invested in Jared Odrick.
You bet, absolutely. For a guy who was moving to a different position here, and they felt like he felt that filled that position pretty well. What have you guys seen from him when he's been healthy and practicing? What have you seen in practice from Odrick?
Big, strong, powerful human being. Not a great pass rusher. He is not a natural pass rusher, in my opinion. Great against the run. Can hold the point. Great against – he can two gap. He can one gap. You get up the field. He is a hard guy to move off the ball. He's just not going to wow you in the pass. I mean, most it's going to be all power.
He's a push guy.
And I've always been a big believer, if you're a push guy and that's your main thing, by the third quarter, it's pretty hard to get that push.
Yeah, and
if you're playing against a decent offensive lineman.
And he won't be an every snap guy. They'll rotate that too.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean,
if he's that good, he might be an every snap guy.
No one, first of all, let's get something straight. Outside of J.J. Watt, tell me how many every snap. There's no more every snap defensive lineman anymore. They're all coming out. They're not Iron Man like Loggie. Loggie was an every snap D lineman.
Maybe 2 years.
I was joking about Loggie. But back when – I always hate to say back when we played, but the top D linemen never came out the field.
No.
They were every down snap.
If you did, you like maybe one series in the first half and a series in the second half, maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, I mean, what role Jared Odrick carves out, I mean, I think that's, you know, he's got to determine that, and his effectiveness will go a long way towards, you know, seeing what that's going to be. But I look forward to him. I think he's a better pass rusher than what Tony gives him credit for, and maybe we are thinking the same thing, but we're just thinking two different ways about it. I think he's a good pass rusher. Is he a great pass rusher? No. But he has the ability to rush the passer. And the thing that he does best is he's just such a strong man and a disruptive player that he's one of those types that, you know, he may not have the numbers, but he may create the opportunities for others. And right now, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because Andre Branch is a guy that if the quarterback is not exactly where he's supposed to be, he's got the speed and the tenacity to go ahead and make a play on him. You know, Ryan Davis, same thing. He's got – you know, the tenacity, and he's got some quickness about him. Chris Clemens, same way. I wish we were seeing Chris Clemens this week, but I know we're not going to see him yet.
That's right.
You know, but I'm excited to see Odrick. The Giants don't have a great offensive line. They're trying to figure it out. I know that they've got some injury issues.
They moved some guys around.
With Jeff Schwartz and Marshall Newhouse. I mean, they've had an injury to Will Beatty, tore a pectoral muscle in the offseason. He's been their usual starter at left tackle, and they got a rookie first-round pick, Eric Flowers. Trying to figure out if Weston Richburg is going to be a decent center, a second-round pick from last year. So they're trying to figure it out on offensive line.
We stay with
Jared.
Okay.
Jeff, he's not as good pass rusher as Sendarek Marks. You'd agree?
No. He's not as good as Sendarek.
He's like Tyson.
No, he's better than Tyson.
You think he's a better pass rusher than Tyson?
Yep.
Think he moves better than Tyson? Is that the difference?
Yeah. He's longer than Tyson, right, too. You know, and typically the longer players can do a little bit more pass rush-wise. So I think he's better than Tyson Alualu. You know, what has Tyson been, 2-3 sacks a year type of guy?
He's a 2-3 sack guy a year.
You know, I think one year he might have had 4, which was a career high, or 5 that was a career high.
No, but he's a 2-3 sack guy.
But I think Odrick is capable of 7, you know, 7 sacks in a year, which, you know, for
from the strong side, that's a lot.
For a defensive tackle, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're saying he's Sen-Derek Marks. Sen had 8.
Well, no, but I think that, you know, with Sen-Derek, what did Sen-Derek have 8 the year before that, though?
8. I mean, I think
he had 8.5 last year.
I think that's his career high. Yeah,
and then the year before, I'm trying to remember what he had.
I can't remember off the top of my head. 6, somewhere 7, in there,
something
somewhere
like that.
Yeah. It wasn't 0.
And the reason I say that is that first of all, Odrick is long, he's strong, he's going to get the opportunities. Now, the position that he plays when he's at left defensive end, that's not exactly a pass rush position, so he's going to have to get a lot of them when they go to sub. And he will get some opportunities early in the season because Sen-Derek's not going to be ready to play yet. So, I mean, if he gets 6 or 7 sacks,
listen,
that would be fantastic.
Jeff, if he gets 7, I will be ecstatic, I'll be surprised, and I'll buy you dinner at the last game of the year.
Okay, I'll take that. But I'm not going to buy you dinner if he doesn't get 7.
But if he gets under 4, you're buying me dinner.
Okay, I'll take that.
Wow.
So if he gets 3 or less, I buy you dinner. If he gets 6 or more, you buy me dinner.
6.5 or more.
6. Well, wait a minute.
You said 7. I'll give you 6.5. You said 7.
Well, 6. I said 6 or 7. I said 6 or 7 would be good for him. But I settled on 6 or 7.
No, we're going 6.5.
Wow.
That's so weak.
That changed in a hurry, didn't it? Yeah.
You're really going to stick with 6.5?
I'll say 6. If he gets 6, we're even, but he has to get more than 6.
No, if he's 4 or 5, we're even. Okay, if he's 6,
fine.
You buy me dinner.
I'm getting confused.
If he's
already
3, okay, fine. I'll buy you dinner.
So 4 or 5, we're even.
Okay.
For the record, Marks had 4 sacks in 2013.
Okay.
4 sacks.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I hope he does. I just don't know if that's what he is as a player. He's a run-stopping, physical guy who holds the point and can two-gap and make your life miserable on that strong side.
Yep.
I think that's what he is. And I'm not saying that's bad, but that's my biggest concern of this front four. Where does the pass rush come before Sen gets healthy and before Clem, you know, how much – you know, hopefully he can do what he did last year, but a year older and tough offseason where he, you know –
See, I'm counting
working his way back into shape.
I'm counting on a couple other things.
Oh, here we go. First, now we're hedging the bet.
No, I'm counting
this,
on, first this? And foremost, this offense to score more points.
Okay.
So the opponent to have to throw the ball.
Okay.
And so you can defensively play some situational football.
I think we'll score more than 15 points a game.
Yes, or 15 or 16. And I think the performance of the secondary will be better this year.
Okay.
And those are critical.
Well, yeah.
Sure. So I think that will help me get dinner.
That's what it's all about.
I hope I buy you dinner.
Where is this dinner going to happen? On the road dinner or at home dinner?
Where's the last game of
on
the
road?
Year's
Houston.
On the road.
Yeah. Oh, Houston. Fogo.
Talking about Brazilian steak.
We'll be at Fogo.
There's not even a discussion on that.
You already got it set up. While we're on defense, speaking of secondary, of course, Cyprian will not play on Saturday, so Loston and Evans will split some time at the strong safety spot. No Sample this week. He might play next week, so it looks like Brown for the moment at free safety, and we'll see our first chance at Sample next week. That's good news.
I think it hurts that Sip isn't playing. I know it's just the preseason, but I'd like to see him get more reps.
Yeah, he needs more reps.
More reps. And
if it was regular season, he'd be playing with a hand.
Okay,
they'd club it up, right?
Forget it. I don't know. I'm not going to make that because I hate that regular season. Then in the regular season, you have guys say, if it was the playoffs, I could play today.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Jeff, I mean, we haven't talked about the game much from last week, and I know it's old news. We're talking more about the Giants. But there's a big play in the first half he's got to make.
Missed it. Filling up in the hole on Le'Veon Bell.
1-on-1. No, unblocked. Line of scrimmage.
Make the play.
And I know it's just one play. I'm not going to kill him for one play, just like I don't expect anyone to kill Luke Joker for one play or anyone else. But that's what he is. I mean, he needs to be that box safety who comes up and makes that play. When you play 8 in the box and your safety's unblocked, sitting in the hole at the line of scrimmage, you got to make that play.
It was interesting talking after Tony, you and I talked on Jaguars.com postgame report. Sip sat down and talked with him for that show. And I asked him, I said, are you ready to take a step up? And he said, absolutely. And I asked him, I said, what makes you believe that you're ready to take that next step up? And his big thing was really about awareness. And that's really what it is with Cyprian. I really believe that, is a preparation level. I'm not saying that he didn't prepare, but a lot of young players, when they come in, unless they have
– they don't know how to prepare.
Somebody to teach them what to look for and how to prepare. And, yes, some of it comes from coaching, but also a lot of it comes from veteran players of showing him what they're looking for to help themselves out. And it gets passed down, you know, from – one generational player to another. And that's the one drawback of kind of what they did, even though they had Alan Ball, was they almost started completely fresh and new with that secondary 3 years ago. And so there really wasn't a veteran presence so much in that secondary unit. And the veterans that were there, they were players that were still trying to figure out and carve a role out for themselves instead of having established players. And that's one advantage to having – you know, experienced and veteran accomplished players at position that they can teach above and beyond what a coach can teach.
Jags fans, this season we're giving you more. The Jags have teamed up with the Nimnick family of dealerships and they'll be giving away a 2015 Buick Encore. For more information and to enter, visit jaguars.com/encore. When we return, we'll talk a little offense. What you want to see from Blake Bortles on Saturday night in New York. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jaguars back to football kickoff luncheon is back Tuesday, September 1st here at Everbank Field. Join Jags owner Shad Khan, President Mark Lamping, GM Dave Caldwell, Head Coach Gus Bradley, and Jags players. We'll celebrate the partnership of the business community with the Jaguars. Reserve your premium table and tickets today. Go to Jaguars.com, click on the Foundation tab, and find Football Luncheon for more information. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, Jaguars Thursday, Jaguars Giants coming up in New York on Saturday night. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. We promised offense talk. Bortles 11 of 15, three drops last week. What's the next step for Blake this week?
Build on what he did. I think, I honestly think Jeff agrees with this. I mean, he played great, as well as he could have that game. And now it's just for him to be consistent and build on it and show that he can do it two times in a row.
Now, the other thing,
I mean, just doing it over again.
I would like to see more of. I mean, we saw the completion that Henny had to Clay Harbor. We know that Blake had some nice completions. I mean, heck, but you know what I want to see?
Deep.
I want to see some wide receiver completions. Whether that be Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, he had obviously the one drop on that third down.
Well, A-Rob had that deep end for the big first down from
the third and long.
Yep. He had the deep end.
Third
the
15, and 14.
Yeah, he had a 15-yard.
You want one like down the sideline over.
I just want to see some timing routes to wide receivers, and I think that will come in time. It's more of a comfort level throw into a running back and a tight end because, you know, those are typically within the core area. But I want to see some wide receiver completions. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to call all wide receiver plays, but I want to see the wide receivers get involved more.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, at the end of the year if the tight ends have more catches than the wide receivers. I'm not saying that'd be a bad thing. I mean, if Julius Thomas, I mean, obviously not this week, you're not going to have him, but, you know, let's hope he plays 16 games. Mercedes Lewis had a great training camp. So you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends. And they're going to be a big part of the passing game, especially because Greg Olsen wants to establish a run and be physical. So tight ends, you know, play action pass are great tools there. Clay Harbor, you can even see logs some 13 personnel, three tight ends.
He's a good player.
And making and putting Julius Thomas out as one of the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And moving Clay Harbor's that move tight end.
Clay Harbor's a good football player.
Just telling you, I would not be surprised at the end of the year that the tight ends have more catches than the receivers. Because right now, your two receivers that you're really going to count on are only Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, and Marquise isn't even healthy.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about this. How many tight ends can you keep?
You're going to keep four.
Okay, then who's number five? Is it going to be your draft pick, Ben Koyak, or is it going to be Big Nick Jacobs?
I think you're going to keep five this year because of no fullback. You'll keep five tight ends.
All right, so the big three, Jacobs and Koyak.
Koyak, yeah.
Okay. It's a lot of tight ends.
I mean, that's an interesting, you know.
But you're going to keep four. You're going to keep four backs, five.
Four
tight
or five.
Ends. You're going to keep four because there's no fullback, Jeff. You usually keep that extra fullback.
True, but I mean, or do you think there's a need?
I think there's a need
at offensive line to maybe keep an extra guy.
If you could put Koyak on the practice, if it was me, I'd try to sneak Koyak on the practice squad, keep four tight ends, and keep.
So that was the next part
of
my question. So you would take Nick Jacobs on the active roster ahead of Koyak.
He's more physical; he can do more things right now.
And I agree with him.
The big guy.
Because if you lose Mercedes, which the last couple years. And I'm not saying he's injury prone, but he's had a tough couple years.
Well, Nick Jacobs, you have 2 point tight ends, you have 2 move tight ends.
Exactly. You have somebody that's more like a Mercedes Lewis. I mean, Nick Jacobs, you know, 285 pounds, 290 pounds, whatever he is, and he's blocking well. I don't know if watching the film.
Just gotta go the right way.
Does a good, yeah, gotta go the right way.
A couple times went the wrong
way.
But
when he does, he blocks well.
Oh yeah, when he gets on the right guy, we're good. A couple times we had a little problem, but it's okay. Preseason's four.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, let me ask you another question.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you're full of questions tonight.
Well, because I've been wanting to quiz Tony all week because we haven't talked.
No, we haven't.
You know, he watched film on his own. I watched film on my own.
I like this.
Okay. Center battle. Who's got
Blanco.
Who's got the leg up?
Blanco
does.
Yes.
I agree.
Wiz will start this week, but they'll probably have the same amount of reps, Gus said earlier.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. Wiz is going to have to play really well for me to change my opinion. Because, number one, you're not going to have much, you know, Giants are a 4-3 team. You might get some 4-3 under, and I'll explain that because I know Logs hates when I don't explain what that means, where you'll get some nose guard activity, a one technique, a guy lining up over the center. But you're going to get a lot of even fronts, meaning, you know, a two, which is head up on the guard, and a three outside chair of the guard. So you're going to have the center uncovered.
Okay.
I think you're going to get a lot of that this week, Jeff. Would you agree? I mean,
against the Giants,
yeah. So last week was a huge test for me about Blanco because I wanted to see how he held up against a big nose guard. And I thought he did a good job. He had one pass where he got on the edge a little bit and gave up some late, not even pressure, just late leakage. And so that was huge for me because I already know Blanco's more athletic. He does a better job on the reach and block, and he does a better job of getting up to the next level.
How about him on the screenplay?
That's awesome.
With Toby Gerhardt.
10 yards down the field.
Perfect example.
That's next level stuff I'm talking about, getting up to the next level. He's better at that. What I thought Wiz would have the advantage in is he's more stout, and he's going to hold the point better, and he can hold the pocket better. What I saw Blanco do is one game, Blanco's pretty good at that. And Wiz did a good job. I'm not saying he didn't.
It's close.
And I'll say this. Another thing is, I think Wiz can play left guard better than Blanco can.
Yes.
I think because if Blanco wins that job, don't think that Wiz is all of a sudden he's the benched. I think he's in play for the left guard position.
Let me ask you a question here.
But the left guard, Beto's played better. I mean, he played better this.
He had a good game.
He played better.
But you got to put your best five out.
Yeah, you got to put your best five out. But Beto's played better. I want to give him credit. We've been tough on him. I mean, not tough, but we've just been saying, you know, it needs to be better, and he was better.
No, we've been real on him.
Reality check.
Okay. Now, who was the most physical center in that game?
Well, Shatley, but I don't count that because it's the end of the game. I mean, he's playing against guys.
No, I know that.
The guys are going to be working at Enterprise.
But ignoring the timing of when he played.
Accountants and everything else. Yeah, but I've said that all along. I mean, come on.
He was. I mean, even though he was playing at the end of the game and against, bro, like Tony said, like guys that aren't going to be playing in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, nothing personal, but it's not going to. I mean,
he was the most physical center in the game.
I worry about Shatley, though, because if it's a numbers game, like, you got to keep Wiz.
He's not going anywhere.
I know, but it's hard. You got to keep Wiz. You got to keep AJ. You got to keep Josh Wells. You know, are you going to cut Austin Pazdor to keep Shatley?
I'm just saying.
I don't think so. I wouldn't.
Shatley's not going anywhere.
I know, it's hard. I mean, that means you have to keep 10 offensive linemen, though. And then if you do that, you only can keep 4 tight ends.
Because Shatley can play guard, too.
Wow.
That's what he played last year.
Yeah, sure.
The guys have a real uphill battle to make this team an offensive line are Sam Young and Cody Booth and Jack Rummels and Brendan Williams. And then Pazdor's on the edge of how many guys you keep.
And so that's what I was wondering about tight ends. You know, is it four or is it five? Because, I mean, that position may impact.
And I hate doing it this early because it's still early. You know, we still got two more real preseason games. So many things can happen, injury and everything else like that. So you don't want to throw guys out, you know, throw guys out of the bar before it's closing time. But those guys are on the edge. I mean, because you just watching. But this, I'm looking forward to it. This game, you know, we talked about Blake. I just want to see him be consistent, do it again, really do what he did again.
You know what I've been waiting to see out of him, though?
I'm looking forward to watching Luke Jokel. Because I think he, from everything, all the reports and everything I've heard and talking to people, he had a – and I watched the game. We talked about this Monday night. A couple bad plays, no doubt about it. Gave him a sack, poor technique, things he struggled with. You know, was got on the edge of the touchdown. His guy was on the edge when Blake scored. Wasn't great. But everything I've heard and talked to, and now practice is closed for the media, but everything I've heard is working on what he's some of the things and did a great job this week. Being patient with hand placement. Those are things we talked about. So I'm looking forward to watching that.
And we visited with Doug Marone this week. You'll hear that on the Public's Tailgate Show coming up on Saturday. You'll have to wait till Saturday to hear it.
Tony. Okay, I'll be on the air with you, so I can't listen.
Yeah, you can because you're on the air. You have headsets in New York. It's an actual radio program.
No, but I'll be working on the field, getting prepared.
Let me squeeze this in here.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, please.
Because I'm still quizzing Tony.
Okay, go.
Please.
AJ can.
I thought he was average. I don't think he played great.
You know what he looked like?
You want to know why?
Looked like he wasn't sure.
Oh, very unsure. And here's the other thing. Get off your toes.
Yeah.
You can't block on your toes. Get all your cleats in the ground, which he will. I think a lot of it was he was hesitant to me.
Yep.
So I thought
I think this week, if you know, and I know you're looking forward to watching Luke Jokel.
I'm looking forward to him, too.
I'm looking forward to watching him take a step.
I'll give you the list of guys I'm looking forward to up front. Luke.
Okay.
AJ.
Luke, AJ can.
Wiz.
Wisniewski.
And then and I just like watching Linder and Parnell because they're fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're good. Right, they're good now.
I won't be paying much attention to them, I'll be honest with you, during the game unless it's, you know, that's where the ball takes us.
No concern there.
But come next day, flight home, when we get the iPad.
Can't wait.
Can't wait till I get the iPad either. I've been missing my iPad.
That might be where the offense takes you if they're that good on the right side,
yeah,
right?
When I get my iPad on the flight home from New York, I'll be watching those two. Fun to watch.
A reminder, when you come to Everbank Field for the next Jags home game, August 28th against the Lions, remember the clear bag policy. The bag must be no larger than 12 by 6 by 12 inches. Plastic freezer bags or clutch-style purses are allowed as well. The Jags and Dailies have teamed up to provide an NFL-approved clear plastic tote bag available with a $5 charitable donation benefiting the Tony Boselli Foundation.
That's right, JP. We've worked with Dailies, and we're excited. Dale's a great partner of the Boselli Foundation and our after-school programs.
For more information, visit jaguars.com/allclear. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, and this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers.
Do you have a plan where you're going? Because one more position group.
I do have a plan, but we're obviously going off the script
now.
Yeah, good. Go ahead. That's okay.
I'm going to take over.
Please do.
Wide receiver. We didn't talk about those guys. We did briefly when Jeff brought up more catches and throws to them. I mean, obviously, Allen Robinson played well. He looks more explosive to me. Allen Hurns needs to catch the ball, which he will. He's dependable. I mean, those two are on the team. Those are your starters right now. Marquise Lee's on this team. Just don't know whether he's going to be active or not, whether he's going to be held, where he's going to be. But he'll be on this team. Rashad Green is going to be on this team, especially after what you saw punt return wise. But he is on this team. You're only keeping five, in my opinion, especially with the tight ends because you're going to go a lot of 12 personnel and 13 personnel. Who's the fifth guy? I'll tell you who I would choose right now.
Who you got?
It's very easy, Ben, without a doubt.
Really, is Ben?
Yes. He can play all the teams. He's physical. He is a guy talking to people in the building who knows all the positions and can play them all.
And he's been around the league for a bit.
Been around the league. Yeah. He's.
But we're talking about the basically we're talking
number
about
five.
The fifth guy.
But here's the thing, Jeff.
That has to play special teams.
He'll be active, and Marquise will be inactive, in my opinion. Because Marquise won't play any special teams. Marquise Lee has to be a starter.
Top three guy. Yeah.
Which I mean is a starter.
Yeah, he's got to be a one of the top three wide receivers to be active on game day.
And if he's
and healthy.
Well,
and
here's the interesting thing is. So if you have five guys, let's just assume for the sake, is Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Rashad Green, Marquise Lee, and Aurelius Ben. Rashad's your punt returner in that scenario, correct?
Yes.
So he's active. Allen Robinson's your number one guy. He's active.
Yep. Allen Hurns, you're going to have active.
Well, what if Marquise Lee beats out Allen Hurns? He's number two. Then it becomes Allen Hurns or Aurelius Ben. Who's better on special teams? That's what it comes down to for that guy. And so that's going to be an interesting thing is when Marquise Lee comes back, because that fifth guy has got to be your special teams guy.
Yeah, and you can make an argument that you know that fifth guy won't be Aurelius Ben. It could be Tannen Doss.
That's right. If he starts returning the ball like he has.
He had a nice return given the opportunity that he had the other night. Now, it wasn't for long yardage, but it's not like
– Oh, I disagree.
He didn't have
went the wrong way.
He didn't have the running room that
right and left.
Rashad
go straight.
Green. Well, he had a guy in his face.
I go straight. I'll go straight.
Couldn't go straight.
He would straight into a tackle. Wall.
Right, I'm not saying he's – I'm not cutting him yet, and he might win the job. But the only way he wins the job is it's night and day that he is the best punt returner.
Well, and the other thing that – the reason he could win the job – is Tannen Doss is, you know, 6'2", 210 pounds or whatever, and can play on special teams besides a role just as a returner.
Jeff.
You know, and Aurelius
Ben's
220 pounds. I know, but they're in that same category.
Right,
but,
I agree.
But I think that's where the battle is between those two, and I think Rashad Green's punt return ability is going to have a lot to do with how that next guy is impacted.
We're on the same page. And that's why I give the lean right now, or the edge, to Aurelius Ben, because I think Rashad Green – No, we have two more games. He could drop the next five punts and change the whole thing.
That's true.
And Tannen Doss could go return, you know, a punt for a touchdown. It changes everything. I'm just saying where we sit today, I think Aurelius is the fifth guy on the board in Dave's office.
Could be.
And if you said all the receiver, all the tight end formations for this team, will have, how many times? They're not going to have five receiver sets on the field.
No.
They're going to have Julius Thomas as one of those guys
first
out.
Of all, I think you're going to have very few three receiver sets.
Right.
You could make an argument.
So that fifth guy is truly a special teams guy.
Unless Marquise Lee gets back
and
healthy.
And that's the difference.
And it becomes the burner, and you want him, Hernsey, and Allen Robinson on the field at the same time, you're going to go – 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, two receivers. Even in third down, I think, because what Julius Thomas could do. I mean, otherwise, what does – if Marquise isn't – I mean, think about this. So it's third and six plus. You want your best four receivers on the field, right? So who are your best four receivers? Okay, we know it's Allen Robinson, and we know it's
Julius
Thomas.
Yeah,
so
that's two.
Okay, so you have two more to fill. Who are a better receiver? Is it if Marquise Lee is not healthy or is not – I mean, he hasn't, you know, got up to speed. What's a better combination? Clay Harbor and Hurns or Rashad Green and Hurns or Aurelius Ben and Hurns?
It's a great question.
Yeah, wow.
In my opinion, right now it's Clay Harbor.
Yeah.
If you need six plus, yeah, sure.
I mean, it's
intermediate
Clay,
right there.
So you got two tights, two receivers. Until Marquise comes back and gives you something different. Because Rashad Green's a possession guy. Allen Hurns is a possession guy. Aurelius Ben, a possession guy. And well, so is Clay Harbor and Julius Thomas. I mean, they're doing – so until you get – and they're bigger bodies. So until you get Marquise Lee back who can stretch the field and tear it down, you know – tear the top off of it, I think you're in more 12 than anything, which is, again, one back and two tight ends. Even in third and six plus. I could be dead wrong.
It's going to be interesting because, you know.
I mean, I could be dead wrong. And all this, I'll just ask Joe to erase.
You could make.
But it's my guess.
You could make an argument. I mean, because, you know, you're talking about roster formulas.
Yeah.
You know, how many offensive line are you going to keep? How many running backs are you going to keep?
Keeping four backs.
You know, I mean, do you have enough quality to legitimize or to make it a legitimate five at wide receiver?
I think just because of what they can do on special teams
is,
in return.
Yeah, is it more important to have an offensive lineman who may be more valuable to you than a fifth
receiver? Yeah, I mean, that's the discussion that's going on a daily basis.
Can you hide a guy on a practice squad or not? That could come into it, too, if you really want to keep him around.
JP, what you just mentioned right there might be the number one answer to any question you have. How can you keep everybody that you want to keep?
That's right.
And so practice squad, et cetera, is all factoring in on that. And
mysterious
and the ability, and injuries are going to impact it, but the ability to make sure that you're keeping who you want, however that may be, whether it's 53 or whether it's practice squad.
And if they're on the practice squad, they can get picked up too.
Can be picked up in a minute and be gone out the door before you even really know it.
Let's look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Some players ruled out for Saturday's game against the Giants. Lee with a hammy. Peyton Thompson with a hamstring injury. James Sample with the arm. He'll play next week. That's the plan in week three. Jonathan Cyprian, of course, with the fractured finger. Brendan Williams, the offensive tackle, with a knee injury. Julius Thomas is out with the broken hand. Neil Sterling with the hamstring injury. And Cedric Marks with the knee. He's still hoping to be on schedule for week one. Also, Chris Clemens will not play in this game. And as you guys mentioned earlier, T.J. Yeldon, a game-time decision. Doesn't sound great for a second preseason game, but it'd be great to see him out there, and maybe next week for a T.J. Yeldon if he doesn't.
I think T.J. will be playing definitely next week against the Detroit Lions here.
I know he's ready.
You know, but let me go back to what you said that, you know, send Cedric Marks on schedule for week one.
Jeff, you don't think there's any chance that's happening?
No.
Really?
No. I mean, essentially, what are we, 4 weeks away?
September 12th, right? Or that week of the 12th,
right.
Or whatever it is?
13th, yes.
13th.
That's 4 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think somebody can go from ACL reconstruction to not having been on the field yet?
Yes.
To ready to play in 4 weeks?
Yeah, I did.
Absolutely not.
I did.
Yeah, but you're a big, fat offensive lineman.
I said that
you're
already.
You're an oaf.
I know.
Okay?
And I agree with that. It's completely different from what I did. But I said that just so Jeff could say what he wanted to say, was that I'm a big, fat offensive lineman. I knew that was coming. I mean, it's different.
It's very different.
It's easier for me to come back.
That's his hope.
In my opinion.
It may not be reality. Let's clarify that.
Now,
sure.
The freak, Adrian Peterson, did it somehow.
He ruined it for everybody.
He did ruin it for everybody.
Didn't Jerry Rice come back really quick?
Yeah, but he had a cadaver.
Years ago. Yeah.
He was a cadaver.
Not only that, he shouldn't have come back because the second game he came back, he
got hurt.
Fractured his kneecap.
In that knee.
Now, the one who came back, very interestingly, was Rod Woodson, who tore his ACL the first game of the year and then played in the Super Bowl against the Dallas Cowboys.
Here's the other one. The Detroit Lions' Louis Delmas had his ACL torn last year and then just tore it again in training camp. You know, it takes
time.
Yeah, it takes time. Mm-hmm.
Last Friday on the Publix Tailgate Show, we debuted a segment called Shine On. Each of you guys argued your side of the line and why it would shine against the Steelers. Let's take a listen.
The defense is going to win and shine today because the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is – they haven't had any of their components in place yet. Yes, they had an extra preseason game, but the Jaguars front is playing all backups up front. They're going to play hungry, and there's a lot of competition in the secondary.
Bing, bing. Listen, I like the Jaguars offense opportunity in the passing game especially. Not a great pass rush from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Gone are the days of the great pass rushers outside. Protect Blake Bortles and then Cortez Allen, William Gay. Average corners. Look forward.
There's Tony Baselli and Jeff Lagerman on
I think
the
that's
Publix
a pretty
tailgate
easy,
show
call.
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
You're conceding defeat.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Put Pittsburgh Steelers with, you know, with the parts that hadn't been in place, march those parts out in place and march down the field six plays, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Tony Baselli is your winner. And shine on.
Tony was right. I mean, they did a great job of protecting Blake Bortles. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not.
That defense is going to struggle all year.
I think you're right. And you can tell that they're really – I don't know if you saw this, Tony, or not, but during the course of the game, Bud Dupree played a ton of snaps.
Terrible.
And he's not a very good player.
I shouldn't say terrible.
He's not
a terrible. He's a rookie.
But I was not high on him coming out of Kentucky. I didn't think
that – He looks stiff.
He's stiff and a little slow.
Yeah.
And watching him at Kentucky, he was never a guy that really dominated or got there in a quick fashion. He made plays, but it wasn't like big, quick plays that you would expect to have
at
the NFL
wonder.
Level. So this week, he gets into a fight in practice, and Mike Tomlin kicks him off the field. I thought that was pretty cool. First round pick, locker room boy.
See ya.
Locker room. You're gone, buddy.
I wish I got kicked off the field when I got in fights. Took a break.
That would have been bad. We would have gotten fights every day then.
Jeff, it's my turn to start it. I want the day off. You don't get it this week.
Listen to these two with the Shine On and the Public Tailgate Show Saturday at 4:30. And, of course, we'll have 6:30 countdown to kickoff on this Jaguars Radio Network station. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. And for more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll look around the National Football League and wrap it up after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the all-new Jack Hanania's Infinity of Orange Park. It's brand new. It has all the amenities you can dream of. It's like the Taj Mahal of luxury dealerships with a huge selection of new Infinities. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Logan. We've got to mention, guys, September 10th, save the date. It's a Thursday night. So there'll be radio shows going
on. We'll be here, won't we?
Back to football bash in FanDuelville here at Everbank Field. That's the North End Zone deck. Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, and the Roar calendar launch. Here's a shocker. I'll be there hosting it.
Have you ever done FanDuel before?
Excuse me?
Have you ever done FanDuel before?
No.
Are we allowed to?
I don't know.
That's the night of the opener.
Because I'm going to do it if we're allowed to.
September 10th?
So can you check the Thursday league, night. League policy?
That's the NFL's.
Yes, and they're going to watch opener. It on the big board.
Yeah, okay. Opener, yeah.
That's right. So
who's playing that night?
Pittsburgh with no Le'Veon Bell and New England with no Tom Brady.
Right. So that's
just what the NFL wanted to kick off the season.
So save the date. Look for more information, registration, and such on Jaguars.com coming up September 10th here at Everbank Field, the Back to Football Bash. Let's look around the National Football League. We start off with the Carolina Panthers. Kelvin Benjamin, torn ACL. He's done for the season. That's the week one opponent.
And that's their second wide receiver, the torn ACL.
And that's their best one.
Stephen Hill, the former high pick out of North Carolina of the New York Jets, who was in Carolina towards ACL. I believe that's who it is, Stephen Hill.
Yeah, was he North Carolina? I think it's Baylor, wasn't he?
Was
West
Baylor?
Virginia, one of those schools?
Whatever it was. Whatever. Second wide receiver that they lost.
Non-contact, too.
Yeah.
No contact. It's crazy. A bunch of non-contact ACLs.
When a guy goes down, much like Dante Fowler did.
You know it.
Because, I mean, Dante went down before the contact was actually initiated. That's the first thought that comes to your mind is ACL.
Can I get something off my chest about
Please do.
So the players 4 years ago, negotiating the CBA to take the pads off and make practice easier and less OTAs and all this. Let me ask you a question. Are there any less injuries? The answer is no.
I don't know.
I can tell you. I've studied the information. Oh, I've studied the data.
You're an analytics guy.
Yes. That's what I call a stretch.
I'm just telling you. Come on. I mean, football's football.
You know, that'd be a great question. I don't know if Tony Khan and the analytics department looked at that, or anybody in analytics
again.
Has ever looked at it.
I'll bet you another dinner.
It'd be interesting.
Just as many or more injuries.
I think it's more publicized now, though, too. I mean, you got
– Than 3 years ago? No.
No, I mean, every year it gets more coverage.
No.
Can't. You know?
Max coverage right now.
Tony Dungy today on the Dan Patrick Show said that when the Colts played in New England, Peyton Manning would leave the visitors' locker room and go into a hallway to discuss plays the Colts are going to run in the game. They were afraid the locker room was bugged. Would you put that past the Patriots?
I bet you the hallway was bugged, too.
I'll say this. For years, part of the reason that Tom Brady is getting 4 games is not just because of what has happened, is because the entire league thinks they cheat, and they've been cheating for years. Starting with Spygate, when they filmed the Rams walkthrough before the Super Bowl, which is blatant cheating.
Filming the jet signals.
Film the jet signals, which I don't think that's a big deal, but whatever. And, you know, but there's been – I mean – Would you not agree, Jeff? The league believes that they cheat.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, everyone thinks they cheat. That's why Tom Brady got 4 games. Let's just call it what it is. No one wants to say it. We all think that Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the whole organization are a bunch of cheaters. That's what the NFL thinks. I think that's what the other owners think. I don't think they can say it because it would be very politically incorrect. It would be all kind of backlash. I think secretly, up to a certain point, they all wanted Tom to get suspended. They want the hammer to come down. I think they're now going the other way because it's dragged on too long. I think you'll see a settlement with much less games because the owners are going to tell Roger enough's enough. It's going to hurt now the league as far as viewing. But I think they all think they cheat. I think that's what they think.
Tony's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was such a hard-line stance, you know, from the Tom from the PSI thing.
I mean, it's over.
If this was against the Green Bay Packers, I think it would have been gone long ago.
No big
but
deal.
The league is digging in
think
because of past patterns with the New England Patriots.
It's like if you're a criminal, the first time you get arrested, you know, you might get one sentence. You get arrested again, it's a little bit stiffer. But if you get arrested like 50 times or you're suspected of doing it, sooner or later they throw the book at you. And I think the league threw the book at Tom Brady because of what they think the Patriots do.
They threw the book at the Patriots.
And the Patriots, both of them.
And the Patriots took the penalty already and paid the fine.
$1 million.
Fine and a draft pick.
First rounder. Right.
First round draft pick. That's you right. kidding me?
That's huge.
Speaking of, Tom Brady's settlement talks continue. If no settlements reached, Brady and Goodell have to be back in court August 31st for more talks. Brady apparently willing to negotiate some form of admittance to a lack of cooperation and a punishment of a fine or game checks, but not willing to accept the findings of the Wells report or sit out games. That's the rumor right now Brady might come off.
I think
a little
he ends up missing one game, and they come up with language that makes everyone happy. I think that's what ultimately ends up being.
Just resolve it. Let's move
on. At this point, I honestly don't care if they don't. I mean, I'm so tired of it. Rodgers just come out. Either just come out and say, no, we're not, you know, we're going to keep it. We don't care. But then you have the risk of the judge embarrassing the NFL again. Or you just come out and say, okay, Tom, let's figure this out. A game, we'll say it was cooperation, lack of cooperation, and we'll all just hug and go on to the next issue.
I don't know if there's going to be any hugging after this. But right. But here's the crazy thing is that, you know, the whole Wells report was based on PSI, and this has been going on for
– now we're talking about phones and
Nine months, right? And so the league wants to distribute PSI tools to every team – to make sure that all the tools are in place to be able to monitor the footballs at every NFL game. But yet they haven't gotten the tools out to the teams yet. And really?
Why don't they just let them have the footballs however the heck they want?
I'm with you.
I don't know if it was on this show, but a show in the past said, hey, if
they should make
One ball. The one kicker ball. Uses the
kicker,
same ball
quarterback,
as the offense.
Everybody.
Was this show? Yes.
And that was me.
Yes,
I said
you.
It here.
That's
just
right.
Let them pick one pressure. Let them set it to whatever they want to do. And then the quarterback has to throw the ball. The kicker has to kick.
I disagree with that.
Why?
It's a team game. Come on.
No, the K balls, because the kickers – how this got – because the kickers were doctoring the balls so much, they didn't even look like footballs.
Hey, if they doctor them, the quarterback's got to use it too.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, do you think back in the day they had K balls and, you know, footballs for the home team, footballs for the visiting team? No, they had a bag of balls, and they played football.
They just, probably cheated more back then.
Just have kidding. A bag of balls and let's roll. Right?
Yeah.
I don't care
if they're guess Nerf
what?
Balls. Let's all play with the same ball and let's go.
Guess what? It doesn't affect me blocking the defensive end.
No, it does not.
I could care less.
Rams and Cowboys got into a massive fight at practice this week. How does the league stop this?
They don't. Who cares?
No.
I mean, I'm so tired of this. Fights have been happening like this since the beginning of time.
Okay.
I mean, there was fights every training camp I was ever in. We practiced with the Falcons one time. There was an interception. We didn't like what they did. We took a shot at them. They came back. There was a fight. Guess what? Society still works.
I think they should legalize fighting in football like hockey.
Oh, it'd be
like
awesome.
A five-minute penalty
I'd be
something.
In so many.
How good would that be?
Great. I'd be cheap shotting folk all the time.
Penalty box on the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to play a man
down.
Got to play
with 10 guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Why not? That'd be cool, wouldn't
it's a power play. 5 minutes.
It would change
play.
The strategy yeah, a little bit.
Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. For Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Jaguars Giants coming up Saturday, 4:30. Coverage starts with a public tailgate show right here, 6:30 with countdown to kickoff. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.